Hello, this is Debbie.
Chris.
And also sometimes me, Lowell.
Together we co-founded Yoga Therapies over a decade ago and currently run the Yoga Life Studio retreats and trainings. We are passionate about sharing the lifelong practices of yoga, shamanism and meditation.
In this podcast, we'll be discussing, dissecting and delving deep, sharing our experience and offering some mini practices to bring fresh inspiration and new insight into your daily practices. We hope you enjoy. Hello, everyone. In this episode, we will be talking about mantra and affirmation and the role they can play in setting the tone for your practice.
Well, one thing that we often find when we're talking to students early in their meditation and yoga journey is that they can feel quite self-conscious when it comes to setting intentions. They worry that what they say sounds pretentious or gregarious or, just cheesy. And so utilizing sort of pre-existing things like affirmations, statements, inspirational quotes in their place can be a wonderful way to begin aligning yourself with this process of orienting your attention and creating your own intentions. A mantra especially is a really, really rich part of the tradition for as long as it's been a tradition. Arguably, mantra was perhaps one of the first parts of the tradition. Often we can consider that mantra is something too esoteric. And again, this sort of self-conscious edge comes up. People feel that it's disingenuous to utilize these tools, that perhaps they come from cultures and religions that person doesn't have, or at least they don't feel they have enough knowledge of, to be truly respectful.
I think sometimes the pronunciation of mantras and things like that can feel intimidating too, can't they?
Certainly. And certainly there's a lot of internet trolling around the topics of who's entitled to what and who can do these things. And the simple truth is that different traditions have very different rules about how things are structured. Traditional Vedic chanting is very precise. The rhythms, the pronunciation, the pentameter, very, very rigid. In later iterations, these songs become devotional and joyful. And the precision falls to one side where this quality of bhakti, of joy, of love, of devotion begins to come through. For us, I think what's important is that you're committing to an intention that brings something alive in you. And if something about listening to mantras, reciting those mantras, perhaps just listening to them at the outset of your practice, anchors you into the moment, brings you into the body, and begins to create the conditions for the practice that you would like, then use them. If you always feel unsure about what the word meanings might be and that's more of an obstacle than a benefit, then pick something else. Pick a statement and an affirmation.
Or maybe a mantra that removes obstacles.
Yes, or an obstacle, mantra removing obstacle.
Sorry, we've just all of a sudden flashback to our 5-year-old child, Lol, who most of you know, and he has this beautiful obsession with a mantra, a Ganesh mantra at the moment, and he will play it in the car when we just want some calming, grounded energy, and he will just sing that, and it just literally melts our heart, doesn't it? And he really has no clue what it means, but he sings it and he feels all calm, and he said, mommy, daddy, I feel so much better after that. So yes, that's why it kind of knocked Chris off kilter there, because all of a sudden that beautiful mantra that Lowell sings, all about, Ganesh and removing obstacles, is a favourite of mine, very much so, because I am a person who feels like I need to recite that just mentally before I go into anything, really, because sometimes my own chatter inside of my own head can be so loud that to just bring a very short mantra in and just silences that chatter and then clears my head, take a breath, and then I'm good to go.
Yeah. The word mantra is actually made of two syllables. The second one that literally just means a tool for or to train with. Whereas man refers to what's often described as that kind of chattering function of the mind or manas in yogic psychology. A mantra then quite literally is a tool, sometimes considered a sacred tool, to cease that chattering mind. A really accessible starting place is with something that's called a bija mantra. And the word bija means seed. And so a bija mantra that you might be aware of already, for example, is GAN, G-A-N. And this bija mantra, this sort of seed syllable, it does almost what it says on the tin. It contains the totality of the Ganesha mantra, but in seed form. And this simple practice then involves repetition, internal or external repetition. And gradually that capacity to train your awareness increasingly to the mantra cuts through all of the layers of the chattering mind and allows you to get right into the essence of your practice.
It's sometimes a really nice thing to do to just calm you down if you have, you know, heightened anxiety and high levels of stress, just pulling in that repetitive phrase, or, you know, you don't even have to pull in an actual mantra that is a scripted mantra. It could be your own mantra, you know, the affirmation. I know sometimes I get a little bit kind of, I feel a little bit weird with affirmations, because I think there's lots that run around that, you know, I am enough, I must love myself. And although these are beautiful things and absolutely, completely relevant, I feel like people feel uncomfortable saying that to themselves, because they generally are still working towards that outcome.
Yeah.
So sometimes just using some simple affirmations is something that can bring that down leveling of your breath and that anxiety as well. I know that I do that a lot, don't I? Even just using the word breathe, but really feeling it within my voice, really feeling it vibrate. And sometimes I even use almost like a Brahmari hum afterwards, you know, breathe. And sometimes Lil says, "Mummy, what are you doing right now?" I'm just like, "Just breathing, darling." But yeah.
Another mantra that perhaps you're not so familiar with is called the Hamsa. It's sometimes called the Ajapa Japa, which means literally the recitation without recitation. And sometimes you literally use the syllables Ham and Sa for the meditation. Now, sometimes what you connect to is the way that those two sounds organically arise as part of the breath. Well, the breath is an anchor, an affirmation can be an anchor, a mantra can be an anchor. Some are more subtle, some are more tangible, some are more esoteric, some are more practical, everyday. You have to pick one that resonates and has the result you want.
Mm-hmm.
The result being that it fosters that capacity to create a practice.
There was a beautiful mantra that I was taught very, very early on by my teacher, Esther, and it was Om Asatoma. And that is something that I will recite to myself as well. And you can find these, you know, on Spotify, and you can listen to the words, you can listen to the rhythm, and then you can sing along to it. And hum along to it to the point where you then know the words, you know the rhythm, and then you don't need the actual background music anymore, and you can just use that. And Om Asatoma has been a really special one for me over the years. But now, thankfully, I have lots more mantras that I use, but Om Asatoma is still just such a special one. And of course, I have lots of the Quechua songs from my shaman side that I have, like Nichi Tai Tai, when I'm calling in with fire ceremony. So all of these things are just words that mean a really special meaning to me. So it's working out what resonates with you.
Yeah. There are some more traditional schools that would say that a mantra is something that has to be given to you by a sort of authorized teacher. That they aren't necessarily things that you can just read or pick up or get off the internet. In the tradition that I follow, there is this term that specifically is utilized to describe a mantra in its alive form. And that word is Chaitanya. It literally means that something about that mantra is living. The original idea was that in order for it to be conveyed effectively, then it had to be conveyed by a teacher for whom it was really alive in them, in order that its life force be passed on. The way that I'm sure you can all think about this is, you must have had a teacher at school that basically just read straight from the textbook. You could tell that they weren't interested. You weren't interested. Probably those were the subjects that you struggled most in, because something about that content was just entirely inert in its delivery. It was flat, it was dull, it was dry, maybe even dead. And then you'll have had a teacher who was passionate about their topic, whether it was poetry or rugby or music. You could just see in their body, in their language, in the way that they moved, that their entire being came alive with the conveying of that practice. I certainly think it's entirely possible for people to convey that through written word. You can read a book that is a textbook that is matter of fact, that's being compiled. You can also read a textbook that's an exploration, that's clearly the pouring out of someone's life's work. And in just the same way as teachings can be alive or dead from the mouths of a teacher, those teachings can spring out of the book and come to life in you. So whether you pick a mantra, whether you pick a statement, whether you set your own intentions, look for that moment that it really feels like something is sparking up, something's brightening up, something's becoming alive and vibrant within you as a result of it.
What's your favourite mantra, Chris?
My favourite mantra? Mm. My favourite mantra is the Hamsa mantra.
Hamsa.
I practice that regularly. In classes, I teach it regularly, but personally, I love the simplicity of it. Mm. I love the simplicity of it. And also, I have no voice for singing. As much as I would love to be able to sing in the way that some of my teachers sing, and actually when we were in Bali most recently, I went to 3 different singing lessons that were all mantra based, and it was wonderful. I poured my heart and soul into it, and it was brilliant as a student, but I could never deliver a session like that with anywhere near the panache that those teachers did. So yeah, for me, Hamsa.
It is a good one. It is a nice one. And of course, I have a few, but I love Hamsa too.
Good.
I love the simplicity of it too.
Because I do believe that our next episode will be a practice pure episode. It will be a 10-minute practice utilizing the Hamsa mantra. Oh,
exciting.
Yeah, so you can look out for that next time.
Bye for now.